As you walked in this morning, if you were a father, you received a label. And it had three letters on it. What did that say? VIP. Again, what does VIP mean? Very important person. Okay, now you may be saying, how come the fathers are getting this badge? VIP, very important person. Well, I'm going to just share with you why a father is so important and why you are a VIP. I'm going to share with you some statistics, and they're not about India, but they're about America, but I think they would be as valid in any other country in the world. Listen to this. In America, let me get my statistics out here. All right. If you look at the prisons, 90% of the prisoners are male. Can you imagine? 75 to 90% of those prisoners grew up without a father. If you look at suicides among young people, 63% of suicides in America take place where there is no father. 90% of homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. 85% of children who show behavioral disorders come from fatherless homes. 80% of all people who commit rapes are from fatherless homes. And 71% of high school dropouts are from fatherless homes. Do you think a father is a very important person? Yes. All right. So, fathers, I want to speak to you this morning and say your role is vital. When a father is absent from the home, or you can have another instance where there is a father, but he's an absentee father. That means he plays no role in bringing up his children. That also qualifies as a fatherless home. So there can be a father and a mother, but the father plays is not involved at all, and that's as bad. Or you can have a situation where there is no father at all. And so what happens when you remove a father from a home is that society gets very sick and very ill. Now, mothers can do all they can do, but it's not enough. Fathers, you are needed. It does not just happen where human beings are concerned, but I'm going to show you how important having a father is, even with animals. Okay? Now, many years ago, in Kruger National Park in South Africa, they had a problem. And this was the problem. The elephant population was just growing so much that it was endangering the other species. So they said, we have too many elephants in this huge national park, and they are endangering the other animals. So we need to do something about this growing elephant population. So this is what they did. They said, we will take a part of the population of elephants and we will move them to another park that has no elephants and there's space and the elephants can grow. Now, the only problem was, have you ever tried moving an elephant? you can't just call Federal Express or, DHL and say, I've got a package. Is this better? You can't just call FedEx or DHL or Blue Dart and say, I've got this package to move from one place to the other. It's an elephant. Now, to give you an idea, these elephants are the largest creatures on earth. Yeah, that are on the land. The big bull, the male full-grown elephant, weighs 6,000, kilos. All right, that is massive, massive. That's huge. Okay, you can't move him. So what they did is they said, we're going to do a shortcut. This is what they did. They said, the female elephants are smaller. The baby elephants are smaller. We'll move the babies and the females, the mothers and the male and female baby elephants. And forget about the old elephants, the big bulls. They're too heavy to move. And so they moved them to the other thing, to the other park. All right. Now, many years later, at the other park, they found out that, you know, there was another endangered species there, the white rhinoceros. And they found that these rhinoceroses were getting killed. So they said, what's happening? So they examined the carcass of the rhinoceros and they saw that these rhinoceros has been speared. You know, there was a wound and they were killed. But they said, it can't be poachers because they still have their ivory tusks. So who's killing them? So they set up. Now these parks are huge. They're not a small park like we have a little park here. They are hundreds of square miles. So they set up cameras to find out who is killing the rhinoceroses. And what they found out was the young male elephants that had now grown a little more, okay, were going on a rampage and killing rhinoceroses just for fun. Now, they said, oh no, what's happening? And then they realized that because they had taken the fathers out of the equation, these elephants had grown up wild. They were getting into gangs and attacking the other animals. So this is what they did. They decided to move a few of the bull elephants, the adult male elephants, to that park, okay, and put them there. Now, when those bull elephants came, they made sure that the young elephants towed the line and behaved properly, not wild like they did. And the problem of other animals and the rhinoceroses getting killed was sorted out. Isn't that amazing? Now, put yourself, you are that bull elephant. If you're a father this morning, you are the bull elephant. Your example and your presence in the family will determine how your children will grow up and what they will do. So this morning, I want to share with you a few things about the importance of a father and what is your role as a father. The first role as a father is this. Your role is to protect your family. Okay, your role. God has designed you and made you in such a way that your role is to protect your family. Men and women are different. Sadly, in the world today, in many countries, we are trying to go into a genderless society where they're saying, no, male and female are all the same. They are confusing function with equality. The Bible tells us that in the beginning, God created man and woman. We are created in the image of God. That's what we are. But we have different functions. We are equal before God, but different functions. For example, think about it. Who is more aggressive, generally speaking, men or women? You're not sure. Men, tell me, how many women do you know who've started a war? How many women do you know who've raped a man? Isn't it so? You know, the men says, let's shoot first and then let's talk. But it's the women who say, let's understand one another. Let's find out, okay? So men and women are different, okay? Men are aggressive. They are the protectors. And that's what they are called to be. Okay? Now, as a father, your role is to protect your family, to defend your family. Now, it's very sad when the person who's supposed to defend the family starts attacking the family. So you have people who beat their wives, who abuse their wives and their children, and that is not on, all right? That is not on, okay? Then secondly, not only do we protect the family as in physically, but we protect the family by taking on the heavy-duty work. So for example, you know, we have the story of a friend of ours who lived in a basti, okay? He's a Christian. Christ-following person. And in the basti, there's no water supply, so the water had to be collected from the ground floor where the tap was there and has to be taken upstairs to the first floor on a steep staircase every day. In most bastis, in all bastis, who does this job? Women. Women do the job. But this man, being a Christian and a follower of Jesus, he says, no, my wife should not do that. I should do it. And he started taking the bucket and filling the water and taking it up. Amazing. The second part of the story is this. The landlord who was there was looking at him and said, you know, what are you doing? He said, in our basti, when a man takes the water up, he's a, donkey. That's what they call him, or a bull. You know, that's what you are. So he says, it's okay. I love my wife. I'm going to take the water up. And he kept doing it. A few days later, he saw this man doing the same thing. And he says, what happened? He says, well, my wife said, if he's doing it, you also should do it. So he said, well, so you also are a donkey now. And then the man said, by the way, you know that other man there? Yeah? He says, he's giving you bad words. So he said, why? He says, because his wife saw you doing it and saying, he's doing it, so you also should do it. Okay, so men, your role is to do the heavy lifting. Simple. When you go to the supermarket and you bring the bags in, don't let the wife carry it in. You carry it in. Okay? So all those kind of things. Thirdly, it's not just about, it's also about building up the family. Okay, let's look at the next one. Not only is the man's role to be the protector, his role is to be the provider. Provider. What does that mean? In Genesis, when we see when God created man and woman, he said, man is the head of the family, and he gave him his role to tend and care for the garden. So the primary role to put food on the table rests with the husband. Everybody say, husband. Husband. That's his role, to bring food to the table. Sadly, again, in our Indian society, we see, you know, many times, especially among the poor, what happens? The women are working, the husbands are gambling. Isn't that so? Yeah? Now, that is so unbiblical. Okay, so men, your role is to provide for your family. Your wife may or may not work. That's okay. But your role, your God-given role, is to provide for your family. In 1 Timothy 5, verse 8, can we have that verse on the board? 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. He says, if anyone does not provide for his own family, he is worse. If anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Genesis chapter 2, 15. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Again, it says there. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. Looking after the garden was the primary job of the man, his God-assigned job. So if you want to lead your family, you first of all earn the right to lead your family by providing for your family. The third thing, so it's a protector, he's a provider, and the third thing is he's the promoter. What do I mean by promoter? Now, your job is to take your children. God, they are a gift from God, and train them up to become the best that they can be. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, it says, fathers, train your children in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. Okay? So, fathers, your role is to train your children. Some of the training involves love, it involves relationship, it involves discipline. Okay? So it's not just discipline. The first part is overwhelming love. Discipline is also what is needed. You know, people can go to two extremes when it comes to children. Either they are as strict as Hitler, and a child is not allowed to do anything, and that's horrible. Or they can be so loving, anything the child wants, they'll give the child and do nothing to train the child. Both are wrong. The balance is lots of love with training and a little discipline. Okay? So that is what God wants us to do. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3, here's a command to children. All children, listen carefully. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2 says this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Under God, children are called to obey their parents. That's what you're called to do. You know? So parents, don't bargain with your children and say, what would you, when you're 2 years old, 3 years old, whatever, what would you like to do? They have no clue what they like to do. You have to teach them and train them what they would like to do. All right? So children, obey your parents in the Lord. That's what we need to do. Okay? The next command is this. Can you go on for that? Honor your father and mother, which is the first command with a promise. Okay? The next thing children are supposed to do is to honor parents. A wonderful way of honoring your parents, if they're alive today, if your father is alive and they're not here, is to get in touch with them. Say, Dad, I'm so thankful for you. Okay, so there's honor and there's respect. Now, just on this obedience bit, when you are an adult or you're growing up, you're not called to obey your parents. Okay, when you're a child, please obey your parents. But once you're 18, 20, 30, you know, you're not. You're an adult before God. You're called to honor your parents. You're an adult. You know what is right and wrong. You can take their advice, okay? But the decision is yours. And that happens as we grow up. So, honor your father and mother that it may go well with you. And you may enjoy long life on earth. Do you want to enjoy long life on earth? Simple. If you want to do that, just honor, show respect to your father and your mother. And that means calling, caring, how we speak to them, how we treat them is very, very important. They may not be perfect. Maybe your father or your mother may not even be, you know, they may be antagonistic towards you, but you show honor to them. It doesn't mean agreeing with what they say, but it's showing respect, showing reverence, showing honor. Okay? That command is so important that in the Bible, where the Ten Commandments are written, you know what the Ten Commandments are. If you want to live life on earth and live at peace with one another, just follow the Ten Commandments. It says, do not murder, do not steal, do not commit adultery, you know, worship the true God. That's what it says. And in those important commandments, it says, honor your father and mother. So it is such an important commandment. Now, the commandment to fathers is this. It says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. If you go, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and in the instruction of the Lord. So, fathers, your role is that as you deal with your children, you're not getting them discouraged or getting them angry. Your discipline is done after a lot of love, after training, so that they respond well to that discipline. You know, we exasperate children when we say, I'll come for your concert, or I'll come for your award, and we don't show up for their functions. Okay? So fathers, let's demonstrate much love to our children. Okay, here are some pointers. Hug your children often. Tell them, I love you. Okay, now this may not be an Indian thing, but it is a very biblical thing. We need to demonstrate affection to our children. If you've got daughters, hug them as well, especially if you may feel a bit awkward. But listen, hug your daughters, hug your sons, tell them often, I love you, you're beautiful, you're wonderful. You can even use the word darling. All right? And that's, we are communicating love. Daughters who don't get love from the fathers, seek love out there. So beware of that. All right? So that's one thing. Then, we're not only demonstrating love and love, but we're also, you know how love is spelled? How is it spelled? T-I-M-E. How do you spell love? T-I-M-E. So it's not just saying, I love you, but it's spending time with your children. Okay? Whatever age they are, see how you can spend quality time with your child. You know, when I was a teenager, I visited a family, a Christian family, when I was living in Cyprus. And I was amazed that there was this grown man playing with his 5-year-old kids, and they were playing games. You know, now think about it. A 30-year-old man playing, you know, snakes and ladders and stuff with his 2 kids. And this was many years ago. And I was amazed. You know, we want to be with people who are our age, our intellect. But here's a man saying, I want to play with. And that's what we are called to do. At every age, whether they are 2 or they are 12, we want to engage with them appropriately and spend time with them doing what they want to do. All right. Now, let me say, if you're feeling guilty about these things, you know, I'm also feeling guilty. All right. But there are no perfect fathers, but we can improve. We can start today. Okay, the last thing we said, honor your father and mother. Fathers, don't exasperate your children. And the last thing a father needs to do is to be a priest for his family. It often happens that the father is not interested in the things of God. It's the mother who's interested in the things of God. Sadly, that is the case worldwide. The women want to follow God. The men want to do something else, all right? But fathers, I want to say that your role is to be the priest in your family. God has given you that leadership. In Joshua 24, verse 15, Joshua talks to the Israelites. And this is an amazing, amazing thing that he does. You know, he shares this with the Israelites in Joshua 24, verse 15. Wonderful verse, you may be familiar with it. He says, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Okay? We can start back at the beginning of verse 15. It says, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, this is Joshua speaking to the Israelites, he says, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So fathers, your role is to be a role model. Like that bull elephant there in the park in Africa. Your presence and your behavior will determine the outcome of your children. All right? You have been given an amazing, amazing role by God. Now, if you're not doing some or any of these things, that's okay. Today you know better, and we can strive to be better fathers. Just remind yourselves of the statistics in the United States. Yeah? Just horrific, horrific statistics. 75 to 90% of prisoners are there in prison because they've not had a father. 63% of youth suicides in fatherless homes. 90% of homeless and runaway children from fatherless homes. 85% of those who show behavioral disorders, fatherless homes. 80% of all people who commit rapes, fatherless homes. 71% of high school dropouts, fatherless homes. You have been given an amazing privilege and a responsibility from God to bring your family up in the ways of God. Amen. Shall we pray? May I request all the fathers to stand up? All those fathers to stand up, because we can't do it on our own. We need God's help and wisdom. All right? I'm going to pray. I'm standing as well, and we're going to pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for all the fathers who are standing here this morning, Lord. Lord, it's a great honor and privilege to be a father, to have children. Lord, I pray for each one of us, Lord, that we would understand this message, that you've called us to be protectors, providers. You've called us to train up, to promote our children. Lord, to bring them up in the ways of the Lord. Lord, we confess we need your help. We can't do it apart from you. Would you enable us to do it, Lord? Pray that we would be a blessing to our families, to our respective wives, and there would be joy and peace and love in the family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.